Good morning. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. The battle belongs to the Lord. How do you reconcile the battle belongs to the Lord when, in so many ways, we try to fight the Lord's battle? In so many ways, we try to fight his battle. And that's where I want to take you this morning. But before we go into that message, the battle belongs to the Lord, especially looking at the life of the Apostle Paul in his weakness. The Lord became his sufficiency. So I'll ask Bruce to present that song, The Battle Belongs to the Lord.
That's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. Power of darkness comes in like a flood. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power.
Strength to the Lord. The song that Sister Evelyn sang a moment ago was His Power, not my power. His power, God's power, can make you what you ought to be. Oftentimes we want God to change the circumstances around us, but what He wants is to change us from the inside, and only His power can do that work. And a lot of times we live in a culture where they worship strength. They worship athletes that are very strong. They worship rich people. And sometimes that can seep into the church where we can become so comfortable or worship those who are strong. those who are mighty. And we have to be very careful, because God will not use one who is sufficient or self-sufficient, but God will only use one who is broken and who is dependent on him. And so we have to be very careful, because what the culture does, it worships those who are strong. And we'll come to a man in the scriptures, Apostle Paul, where he had to declare his weakness, where his strength came from. But I want to take you to a few verses of scriptures that really that song came from. If you turn with your Bibles to Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. Says Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight you, to fight for you, to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. He goes before us and he fights our battles to save us." That's Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. And 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, I believe, 20, verse 15. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle belongs to the Lord." And it's until we learn to depend on him, learn to trust in him, we will always find fighting our own battles. And that's something that we have to struggle with many times, that we find fighting our own battles in our own strength rather than trusting in the Lord, because the world does it. The world sees strength and riches and power as might. The only way to get by is power and might. But a true servant of God is one who depends on God to fight his battles. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it speaks of a man by the name of Moses, and it describes this man as one, as we see here in verse 3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Meekness is not weakness. The Lord used Moses mightily. He was a useful vessel in the hands of the Lord because he was meek. What's the difference between lowliness of mind and meekness? Lowliness of mind does not give offense, and meekness of mind does not take offense. And that, when you look at the life of Moses, he was indeed a meek man. As the scripture says, he was meek, very meek, not just meek, but very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And God used him mightily in delivering his people from Egypt. And so these are some scriptures that brings out how important it is for us to trust in the Lord to fight our battles. Now we go to the passage that I want to take you to today is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And here we see the Apostle Paul 2 Corinthians 12. Paul's sufferings, and we pick up from, for context, I'm just going to read from verse 1. And you know, like when you go to pass through the airport, many of you travel right to the airport, and they ask you, what do you have to declare, right? Any of you had that experience? Yes, you have to declare what you're bringing into the country or and so forth. And so you have to, sometimes they search you and they you have to declare many things. Sometimes you have to declare your money, right? You might have to declare your goal, your possession, and so forth. But here, when Paul arrived at the airport and he has to declare, he's declaring not anything that is of value, but he's declaring only his weaknesses, and we'll come to that. And so it's so wonderful to read Paul's testimony, and we see how the Lord used Paul mightily because of his dependence on him. Verse 12, it says, chapter 12, it says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God know it. Such a one caught up in the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God know it. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my strength. Does it say that? He will glory, but in my infirmities. And he was the one who was caught up in the third heavens, yet he would not glory in that, in his experience, but he only glory in his infirmities. But was that easy for the Apostle Paul? Was it easy? We will come to that. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he hear it of me. So he doesn't want anyone to speak of him highly. It says here, and unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measures. So here the Apostle Paul is given a thorn. We do not know exactly what it was, but it was to keep him humble, to keep him dependent on the Lord. And it says here in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. Before we go to verse 10, I love to hear, at least after winning, you know, they will first give God the glory. Very few athletes that does that. And I think recently there was a basketball player, after the game, he was being interviewed by the reporters. And he said, before I say anything, I want to give God glory. And I think he even presented a gospel in a nutshell. And that's what it's important, that we give God the glory. And so anytime we find ourselves doing anything, is because of his grace, and we need to give him the glory. And so here we see Paul is glorying in his infirmities because he is learning to depend on the Lord, that in his weakness, God is made strong. God will never be strong in our lives if we remain strong, if we remain unbroken, is until we are broken, until we become nothing in the hands of the Lord, only then he can use us for his glory. Now he goes on to say in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure. What something to really think of here. Here's Apostle Paul in his infirmities. He says here, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. How do you respond in adversities? When someone offends you, when someone berail you or look down upon you or speak evil of you, or when you suffer reproaches, do you take pleasure in them or do you try to take revenge? Something to think of. We see Paul is taking a different road. He says, when these things happen, I take pleasure in them, for when I'm weak, then I'm made strong, because you are trusting in the Lord. You are allowing the Lord to fight your battles. And so it's a very good scripture. I wouldn't go into more of chapter 12, but I encourage you to go further. If you go further into the chapter, verse 19, it says, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you, we speak before God in Christ, but we do all things dearly, beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come, I shall find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbiting, whispering, swelling, tumults. Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication of lasciviousness which they have committed. And so here we see Paul is giving admonition to the believers here at Corinth, and he is coming with that humility, with that spirit of wanting to help, to bring edification. And he is coming knowing that there's still ones among them that did not repent and there was no change and so forth, as we read in verse 20. But yet he's coming with that humbleness for the benefits of the saints here. And it's so important for us, as if we want God to use us, we have to be humble. And so I'm going to take you through some verses where God draw near to those who are humble. So I'll take you to a few verses, then I will close in prayer. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are broken or of a broken heart, and saveth such to be of a contrite spirit. It's wonderful, as one said, I'm just going to quote this saying, it's wonderful what God do with a broken heart when he gets all the pieces. It's wonderful what God can do with a broken heart when he gets all the pieces. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as of a contrite spirit, a broken spirit. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's the kind of heart that God requires or desires or needs, is one of a broken spirit. one that has a contrite heart, one that is repentant, like David. And we can read that in the same Psalm 51. Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all those things had mine hand made, and all those things have been, say the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word, and trembleth at my word. This is so unlike our world, but this should be our desire as believers in Christ, to be broken, to be dependent on the Lord, to humble ourselves before him. And when we humble ourselves before him, he will exalt us in due time. And so we must glory in our weaknesses. We must glory in our infirmities. We must not only just bear with it, but like the Apostle Paul, we must take pleasure in it. How many of us can say and do that? So that's my encouragement this morning. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we live in a world where they worship strength and power and might. But we as believers in Christ, we must not be like the world. But we must be dependent on the Lord, trust in him, come before him with contrite spirit, broken heart, dependent on him, and he will exalt us. He will use us like the Apostle Paul, how we use him mightily and how we use Moses mightily for the deliverance of his people, for his name's sake. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we come recognizing, Lord, oftentimes we are very proud. Lord, there's plenty of pride in our hearts. And Lord, we come before you, Lord, recognizing that these are sins that besets us. And oftentimes it's so hard to rid ourselves of pride. And Lord, we pray that we will learn from your scriptures. Lord, that we will come ourselves, Lord, come off and our high places, O Lord, and to trust in you, Lord. Lord, to change us. You have the power, Lord. You're the one who has the power. And Lord, that you will not only change our outward circumstances, but Lord, that you will change us from the inside, that we will be a people that are humble, a people that are dependent on you. Lord, that you will fight our battles, whatever it may be, Lord. And so, Lord, you know the hearts of everyone here this morning and the battles they may be fighting, Lord, that they will trust in you, that they have recognized that in their own strength, Lord, that they can do nothing but in you, Lord. In your strength, we are made strong. So, Lord, bless your people, and Lord, we give you thanks in Jesus' name.